ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवत्य उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. So today we are reading from Canto 1 entitled Creation, Chapter 1 entitled Questions by the Sages, Text number 6. Rishaya uchuhu Twaya khalu puranani Seti hasani chanaga आख्यातान्यप्यधीतानि धर्मशास्त्राणि यान्युत. ऋषयः, द सेजेस, ऊचुः, सेड, त्वया, बाय यू, खलु, अनडाउटेडली, पुराणानि, the supplements to the Vedas with illustrative narrations, sa itihasani, along with the histories, cha and anagha, freed from all vices, akhyatani, explained, api, although, adhitani, well read, dharma shastrani, scriptures giving right directions to progressive life, yani, all these, uta, said. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The sages said, respected Suta Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures famous for religious life and in the Puranas and the histories as well, for you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. Translation responsibly. The sages said, respected Suta Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures famous for religious life and in the Puranas and the histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. Purport. A Goswami or the bona fide representative of Sri Vyasadev must be free from all kind of vices. The four major vices of Kali Yuga are, number one, illicit connection with women, number two, animal slaughter, number three, intoxication, number four, speculative gambling of all sorts. A Goswami must be free from all these vices before he can dare sit on the Vyasasana. No one should be allowed to sit on the Vyasasana who is not spotless in character and who is not freed from the above mentioned vices. He not only should be freed from all such vices but must also be well versed in all revealed scriptures or in the Vedas. The Puranas are also parts of the Vedas, and histories like the Mahabharata or Ramayana are also part of the Vedas. The Acharya or the Goswami must be well acquainted with all these literatures. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Hearing is called Shravana and explaining is called Kirtana. The two processes of Shravana and Kirtana are of primary importance to progressive spiritual life. Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatham Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here in the first canto, we have started the whole Srimad Bhagavatam again, and it's very interesting how this whole conversation started. So it's very important to know all the in how it happened, which conversations took place and between whom, because these personalities are also very great sages and saints, and we have to aspire to follow in their footsteps. So it's very important to know how they had these conversations and how it all began. So here in this verse number 6, there are qualifications of a person given who can explain Srimad Bhagavatam and who is a representative of Srila Vyasadeva. So we are studying this Bhakti Vaibhav course. In that, the first question, there are some short questions. So the first question itself is, what are the qualifications of a person who can represent Srila Vyasadeva or who can sit on the Vyasasana? So in these verses, 5 till 8, all these qualifications are given. And today's verse also, it says he should be completely free from vice and should be well versed in all the scriptures, all the religious, all the main scriptures. So of course, you know, one may not be fully free from all vice and fully learned in all scriptures, but we still sit on Vyasasana and speak on Srimad Bhagavatam just to follow the authority, and that we are on the way to become like that, become a pure representative of Vyasadeva. So it's not a very proud position, or we should be, it's a service. So as a service to Srimad Bhagavatam, to the spiritual master, to Vyasadeva, so that's the real mood. We should take it as a service that we are trying to glorify Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam itself is himself. Srimad Bhagavatam himself is Krishna. So there is no difference between Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna. So when Krishna has left this, Krishna left this planet 5,000 years ago, so we can still access Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam. So as any person, as we have interaction with any other person, we have a relationship and we have different exchanges. So same way we can have a relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam and we can have our exchanges with Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's a very personal way to approach Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not just a book. Of course it is a book, but it's not just a book, any other book of information, so many different shlokas, nice poetry, but it is actually Krishna himself. So if there is a person and we interact with him, so we share different things, so like that. We have a life, we have every day, we are doing different activities, we are going through different ups and downs and of this material world, we are trying to become a devotee. So meanwhile, if we have a relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam, so that's the purpose of life, to develop, to understand who we really are and who Krishna is and what are the different ways Krishna interacts with us. So Srimad Bhagavatam is one way. So here some of the qualifications are given, like the four major vices are given. So in order to understand and explain Srimad Bhagavatam, one should follow these four regulative principles. So then it becomes easy to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is Amlam Puranam, it's spotless. So in order to, so the quality is very high, the highest. So it's Krishna himself, it's totally transcendental. So in order to access or associate with such a personality, so we have to become purified ourselves. So that's why these main four regulative principles are given, that unless we at least, there are so many regulative principles, that, but these four are the main. So here it says the four major vices of Kali Yuga are all these things, meat eating, intoxication. So first these things have to be stopped. If these are, if we don't stop these things, then there is no chance of progressing in spiritual life. So these four regulative principles, they are not transcendental, they just make one human. So unless one is following these four regulative principles, one is on the animal platform. But human life means Athato Brahma Jigyasa. So now that we have this human life, human form of life, we must inquire about the Absolute. And to understand the Absolute, these four major vices have to be stopped, at least grossly. And because from millions of years we have been indulged in these four major sins and so many other sins, so there is a conditioning. So it's, it takes time to clean up the subtle, on the subtle level. But at least grossly we should stop these four sins. And then further, we see here the different sages headed by Shaunaka, they are asking questions to Suta Goswami. And Suta Goswami is explaining. So that's the main, the first processes of bhakti, Shravanam and Kirtanam. So Suta Goswami is explaining and all the sages are hearing. And then Suta Goswami explained that I also heard like this. So when Shukadev Goswami was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, Suta Goswami was present and he heard everything, and now he is explaining as per as what he understood. So this is the sum and substance. That's how it begins. So we learn it, we hear it, and then we explain it. So that's the cycle, how it works. So what you hear, you would speak like that. So what goes in, goes out. Like that. So if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam day in, day out, Nityam Bhagavat Sevya, so what will come out of us, come out of the mouth? That would be the glorification of Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's why it's essential to take this dosage, this daily dosage of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's very, very important. So here this Suta Goswami is setting an example. So he is a perfect representative of Vyasadeva. That's why he was given this position as the speaker. And there were so many sages present at Nimisharanya. And there's another. So when Suta Goswami heard, he explained that Shukadev Goswami, how there were so many sages present when Parikshit Maharaj decided that, okay, I would sit on the banks of Ganges and fast until death, because he came to know, okay, there is only 7 days remaining. So now when he sat there, there was all the sages, different sages came from all over the universe, and they were sitting there. And then in first canto, further in later chapters, it described that how Shukdev Goswami came there. And as soon as Shukdev Goswami came there, he was so young, he was I think just 16 years old. But when all these sages saw Shukdev Goswami, they all stood up and gave him respects and blessings. And it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that they, by his features, they could study, just by looking at him, his position, they could study it. Because these sages or great devotees, just by seeing us, they can see what level of advancement we are at. So when they saw Shukdev Goswami, they understood, oh, he's highly advanced. So he gave him the Vyasasana, and then he spoke on Srimad Bhagavatam. Although so many other sages were present that way. So he was totally, fully qualified to speak among, in the presence of these great sages. So one has to be qualified to represent Vyasadeva. And at another, there is one incident, it's given in 10th canto and also in Krishna book, that how it's a story of Roma Harshan Sutta. I think he was the father of Sutta Goswami. So he did an offense. So when, before the battle of Mahabharata, when Lord Balram came to know that, oh, there would be a fight between Kauravas and Pandavas, so he was not very happy. So he tried to pacify both sides, that so that the war doesn't take place. But then war had to take place. So he didn't want to actively take part in the war. So he just left for pilgrimage. So while he was visiting various places of pilgrimages, he came to this place of Naimisharanya, where these sages later on, they were having this discussion. So it's described in Krishna book that actually Naimisharanya is like it's a place of pilgrimage, and this place was used by sages for their meetings. So these days also we have different meetings, you know, in any corporation you go, every day there's meetings going on, do not disturb meeting going on. And what are they discussing? So how to make money. For eating, sleeping, mating and defending. But here it says that the sages used to have these meetings at Naimisharanya and similar other places. But why did they have these meetings? In order to, it's for the benefit of the whole universe, for the benefit of all living entities, for their ultimate benefit, not just temporary benefit. Of course you can earn money and then eat and sleep nicely. But there's some benefit, you can take care of the body, but ultimate benefit is to understand who is Krishna. So these sages used to have their meetings there. So when Lord Balram reached Naimisharanya, there was one such meeting going on, and all the sages had nominated Roma Harshan Sutta to be the speaker, and he was sitting on the Vyasasana. So although they nominated, and there were other senior sages present, but he was proud. He was very proud to sit on the Vyasasana. He was given a position of Brahmana, although he was not a Brahmana. He was the word Suta. Suta means he is a mixed, has a mixed birth. So his mother was a Brahmana, and father was a Kshatriya. So he was known as Suta, like that. But all the sages, they gave him the position of a Brahmana, and so that, okay, you sit and you be the chief leader in this meeting. But he became proud. He became very proud. So the purpose of sitting on Vyasasana is to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what happened? The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, the first expansion of Krishna, Lord Balram, when he reached there, all the sages, they stood up from their place and they, some paid obeisances in respect, and some they gave him blessings because they were even senior in position. because Lord Balram was acting as a normal human being. But all these sages, they understood, although he is acting as a human being, but he is Supreme Personality of Godhead, the first expansion of Krishna. So they gave him respect, all the respect. But Rom Harshan Sutta, because he was so proud that, I'm sitting on the Vyasasana, so he did not stand up and did not give respects. So he just totally misunderstood the meaning of sitting on Vyasasana. So sitting on Vyasasana means you give respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and glorify him. So Lord Balram was very, very much offended, and to teach him a lesson, he killed him. So, and he just killed him with a blade of grass, blade of kusha grass. So, why he killed him with a blade of kusha grass? I mean, just to show is no, he doesn't have to endeavor hard to kill someone. God even doesn't have to use kusha grass to kill. Just by the time factor, everyone is killed. Just by one of his energies. So like that. So here we have to learn the lesson that we may be given a position, a high position, but we have to take it as a service to glorify Krishna, and we don't have to become proud like that. So this understanding, if one understands this, and even though he is a learner, so that's the desirable qualification. So such a person is qualified. He's qualified to become fully qualified very soon, like that. So these sages, when they do these meetings in these holy places, the purpose, as we discussed, is to benefit everyone. Because people in material world, they are leading their lives, and they don't know the purpose of life. They don't know their real self-interest. So the real self-interest, to understand our real position. So there is a verse in 7th canto when the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, and when his father Hiranyakashipu, the greatest demon, he asked him, okay, what have you learnt at school? So he recited various shlokas on bhakti, and he was very angry. And he said, your teachers must not have taught you this. Where are you learning all these things from? So then one of the verses he spoke was Nate vidu swarth gatim hi Vishnu. So he said people generally don't know their self-interest. So why is that? Because they don't know what is the self. So if one doesn't know what is the self, that what's my real identity, so how would I know my self-interest? So people think self means I am the body. So self-interest means looking after the body. So that's the basics are wrong. There is no fundamental education given. So he said, Nate vidu swat gatim Vishnu. People don't know this, the self-interest. So their consciousness is actually immersed in enjoying in the material world. So material world is designated as dukhalayam ashashvatam. There is no happiness, it's a place of misery and it's temporary. So what an intelligent person would come to this place and try to enjoy in a temporary place and which is full of misery. So that's why people don't know what is the self-interest. And then further in that same verse, Nate vidu swat gatim Vishnu, it says, so they don't know the purpose of life, and they are following a person who is similarly blind. So it's like blind following another blind man. So their leader is also blind. So in second canto then it's given, you know, that then Shavira Hoshtakari. People are on the standard of dogs, hogs, camels and asses. And they choose their leader as another similar animal, who is like a big animal. So in one lecture Prabhupada was saying, you know, so all people are acting like animals. So in a jungle, if there are so many animals, rabbits, deer and everyone, and they choose, okay, the lion is our king. So does that mean lion becomes more than an animal? He's still an animal. So same way. So people, although there is a big animal, they choose him as the leader. But he is blind towards the knowledge, this real knowledge of what is the goal of life. So what happens if a blind follows a blind? They both, all of them, they fall in a ditch. Like that. So this is the knowledge given in Srimad Bhagavatam of self-realization. We have to understand that how, what is the real goal of life. So in the ignorance, people just take shelter of all these temporary things. That okay, money, I have this much bank balance, so I'm safe. Okay, I have this, this is my family estate, big house, so I'm safe. I've got electronic security system. Yeah, I'm safe. There's cameras outside. People don't even open the doors if you go to home. They have a electronic eye there. They can see in the screen from within, and they speak, "Who's that?" Like that. So they don't even open the door and greet the guest. So they're taking this shelter in all these false things. In these modern so-called advanced gadgets, like that, they are taking shelter there, and they don't know about Krishna, who is the real shelter. So now, for us, it's so important to understand that why we surrender to Krishna, or why do we take shelter in Krishna. So in second canto, there is a philosophical explanation, this logical and very philosophical explanation that why we should take shelter of Krishna. So someone can ask us while preaching, you know, why to take shelter of Krishna? Why not something else or someone else? So the answer is given there, one of the answers in second canto. So the explanation given is, everything in this world is dependent on something else. So they are interdependent. So the example given is, there is sun and we have a power of seeing, the sight. So now there is sunshine and we have the eyes to see. So now the sun, if there is no sunshine and we have the eyes, so what's the use of eyes? So the eyes are dependent on the sunshine, right? And similarly, if there is sunshine but we have no eyes, so what's the use of sunshine? So sunshines are also dependent on the eyes. So there is this interdependence. Eyes are dependent on sunshine. Sunshine is dependent on the eyes. So now there, the natural question, Prabhupada says, is to ask, okay, who has made this interdependence? Who is the creator of that? So that's the natural question. And here in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Janmadhyasyatah Anvayad Itaratash Charteshva Abhigya Swarat. So Swarat means independent. So Krishna is fully independent. Vasudeva or Krishna is fully independent. So one who is fully independent, he can make all these interdependencies. So that's why. Because he is fully independent. He is not dependent on anything else. He doesn't take shelter of anything or anyone else. So that's why he is the shelter of everyone. So that's why we take shelter of Krishna, because he is self-satisfied, he doesn't take shelter of anyone. So if we have this full trust on Krishna, then actually we can be free. Otherwise whole life would pass and so many lives would pass, we take shelter of temporary things and we just lose the purpose of, lose the focus. And we have to also trust Krishna that what he does for devotees, especially Krishna takes direct control, direct charge. And whatever is happening in our life, Krishna is planning for us. So we have to see Krishna's hand. And we have to see, sometimes we think, oh, I had this desire. I know Krishna would give it. But why is he waiting? You know, why not give me now? Why to wait? So we have faith on Krishna. Okay, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. We worship, we do devotional service. But sometimes he doesn't understand that I need this thing now. So we have to also have faith on Krishna's timing. Because our vision is very narrow, you know, like those horses. So we can't see. Krishna is omniscient. He can see past, present and future, and he is conscious of everyone. We are just conscious of our body. You know, we are Kshetrajna, the knower of the field. So this body has two knowers. We know, we are the knower, the soul, and the super soul is the knower. But soul is just aware of this body, and very the awareness is very limited. But Krishna is aware of all the bodies. He is aware of the whole universe. The whole universe is like the body of Krishna. So like we are present in this body, this is our body. The soul is present within the body, so we are aware of this body. Similarly, Krishna is the soul of whole universe in the form of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So he is aware of the whole universe. So that's why his timing is best. So when what we get according to Krishna's desire is at what time, that's perfectly desired by him. So he knows when we need and what we need. So we have to have this faith on Krishna. And there is this example given that how in Mahabharata, how the whole Mahabharata war took place. So what was the purpose? So how, when Krishna comes, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam, Krishna comes to annihilate the miscreants and deliver the devotees. So when Krishna came and he knew that there are so many kings on this planet who are like a burden, and that's the main reason when the Bhumi Devi in the form of a cow went to Brahma, that oh, there is so many kings, there is a burden on me. So then Krishna descended soon after that. So when Krishna came, he didn't kill all the demons straight away. So one can say, oh, why was he waiting? They were creating more troubles, these demons and kings who were, you know, kings who were not bona fide kings. They were just like demons in the garb of kings. They were not protecting the citizens, rather they were creating harm for them. So why didn't Krishna kill them straight away? So the answer given is because Krishna is very intelligent. He is perfect in timing. So he didn't want to go everywhere and just kill, you know, each king. He was just waiting so that everyone is he was waiting for the shortcut method, you know. Everyone is collected on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and that's it. In one go, few days, everyone's gone. And then he relieved the burden of earth. So that example shows that how Krishna actually knows. His plan is perfect. So same way his plan for us, for our life is perfect. If we just surrender to his will, so he's taking care of everything. And by keeping this faith on Krishna, we can be really free. So from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can actually understand all this. So this is like Krishna is directly speaking to us, explaining himself, his workings, the workings of Maya. So Srimad Bhagavatam has both the information. It has information about Krishna and information about Maya, the material energy. It has both positive and negative information. So positive is how we develop, how we take shelter of Krishna, how we get attached to his lotus feet. And negative is how not to get attached to Maya. So both the information is given. So that's why it is said if this material world is considered as a prison. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is for both those who are in the prison and those who are outside the prison, like that. So it's for everyone. Srimad Bhagavatam is for everyone. Unless one understands this, it's just we waste the life. And that's why when there was this discussion between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj asked these questions: what is the duty of a man in general, and in particular one who is about to die? So we don't know how much we have to live. You know, we may die next moment, next hour. But why don't people understand this? Because they are on the material platform of life. So one thinks, you know, I have these plans in my life. So that means I would live to fulfill those plans. You know, I have to buy a car. Okay, so that means I would live for 5 years and earn that much money, buy a car. I have this plan, so okay, I would live this much. our family has this plan, so that means, okay, we all will live together this much. No, it's nothing is guaranteed. Yamraj can come on the bull anytime for materialists. Yamdutas can come. So it's just this an analogy given how people are acting in this world. It's just like if a person is in the prison and he's on the death sentence. So on the day or the one day before when he has to be hanged or killed and by any means, he's asked, okay, what do you want to eat? Tell me, whatever you want will bring, whatever you want to eat. So now that man can think, oh, I've got choices, wow, I've reached the, I'm so happy, I've got these choices. Oh, I'll take this, give me the menu. But tomorrow he has to be hanged. So that's how people are living. They think, oh, you have your choices, oh, I can choose this, I can choose that. But you don't know when death would be there. So that's the such a narrow vision. So Srimad Bhagavatam gives us this broad vision. So we have to be submissively hear. So here it's given these two processes of Shravana and Kirtana are of primary importance. One can assimilate the knowledge of revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. So here all these qualifications are given. Who can actually speak Srimad on topics of Srimad Bhagavatam? And then second thing is, what are the qualifications of one who is ready to hear? So one of the qualifications is, who can hear and assimilate the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam is, he has to have an open mind. So is one example that, you know, the mind and parachute works when it's open. So imagine you are falling from the sky, you have a parachute, it doesn't open. What's the use, you know? The same way we have this mind, but it's not open. So there's no use. You can hear Bhagavatam life after life, Bahujan Kariyadi Shravana Kirtan, life after life, but it's like you are in the boat and the anchor is, you know, tied. And you can row, you know, row the boat, you will be at the same place. So same way, it's unless you have an open mind, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is of no use. So there are two types of people who cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who have closed. The closed mind is of two types. One is, if one thinks, okay, Bhagavatam or knowledge of Krishna, I know everything and already. Now let's see what's... Let's test the speaker. So I'm hearing, that's the closed mind, you know, nothing would enter because I know everything, so let's test the speaker. So that's one type of closed mind. Second type of closed mind is, oh, Bhagavatam is Puranam Amlam, it's topmost, and I'm so fallen, so anyway I can't understand, but let's go there so that everyone knows I'm there. So that's another type of closed mind. So in these both cases, if one thinks, oh, I know everything, and if one thinks, oh, it is too high for me, this one is of course the pride, it's pride, and other is just the backdoor entry of pride, it's false humility. So in both cases, it's like closed mind and Bhagavatam won't enter. So the right attitude is open mind. Okay, let's hear Bhagavatam, what's there for me to learn today? So that's the open mind. So then, you are letting Krishna enter through the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, then it would act and purify us. So we have to keep the doors open and let Krishna enter like that. And when Krishna enters, he would purify. We can't do anything without Krishna's help. But we have to allow Krishna to help us. So that these are the qualifications given of the speaker and hearer, and further in next few verses also we'll hear that. So the glory of Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam is unlimited. So I would like to stop there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Of verses that we can
Yes. So, yes. There's Srila Prabhupada's, there's one book called Prabhupada's Shlokas, in which all the shlokas are given which Prabhupada used most often. So that's a very good source. So there's verses from everywhere, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So those are the main verses. And second source could be the handbook of Bhakti Vaibhava course, where all the key memory shlokas are given. So Bhakti Vaibhava students are tested. Like in Bhakti Shastri, there are key verses, same way Bhakti Vaibhava. So these are the two sources that I know of. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much.
You mentioned about Mahabharata.
Yes.
So can you say the Duryodhana was the most used person?
Yeah, I think what was that? I think he's the personification of Kali Yuga, something like that. He's something, yeah. So when Duryodhana was born, they were all the inauspicious omens. Bulls were howling or something like that. And all, many personalities, many great personalities advised Dhritarashtra that kill him immediately. Like that. Just imagine if your son is born and someone says kill him immediately. So he was attached to his son. He said, no, I can't kill. Vidura and other great personalities, they advised him that please kill him. He would ruin the whole dynasty, and that's what happened. The whole dynasty was killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. So yes, he was the main person who was responsible for the whole battle of Kurukshetra. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Gantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tagore Premanande.